In the bathroom at the hotel, he stands before the mirror trying to recall his reason for being there. "Are you all right in there?" he hears his wife call. He opens his fist and sees the pill he is supposed to take flaking in the sweat of his palm. 10 times, maybe even 20, he has sat on a doctor's couch and answered the same battery of questions about his sleep and interest in sex, his appetite and sense of despair, and he said yes, there was an uncle and a grandmother who, looking back, seemed unhappy in more than the usual ways, and yes, there were his parents who divorced, his mother who always had a few drinks after dinner, and no, he doesn't hear voices or believe there is a plot to undo him. At the end of each of the hours, he's listened to the doctor's brief talk about the new combination they'd like to try, how at first it might make him nauseous or tired or anxious. For years, he's done as he was told, and for stretches of time, he's felt like a living person. Then the undertow returns. Ellen hears of a better doctor, and again he must answer the questions. He's always doubted the purpose of the drugs. Despite all the explanations, he's never been able to rid himself of the conviction that his experience has a meaning. He's been told this is a romantic notion, a dangerous thing to cling to, bad advice for the mentally ill. Perhaps it is, though the opposite has always seemed more frightening to him, lonelier, the idea that so much of him was a pure and blinded waste. "I'm fine," he says softly, rinsing the damp powder into the drain.
Adam Hazlett is starting at the top. His first book was a collection of short stories called You Are Not a Stranger Here. It was a finalist for the National Book Award and the Pulitzer Prize. All of the stories in the book touch on mental illness. In these stories, he explores lives that have been marked in some way by people who can't peacefully inhabit their own brains and minds.
Fiction is often taking something that's an experience and turning the volume up in a way. And so we all deal with grief and loss and moments of feeling down. And I think, you know, readers hopefully can sort of see their way into people who are dealing with those issues at some extremity.
Is there a particular reason why this extremity of feeling, this in some cases edges, in some cases depths of mental illness, is something that you want to describe?
I feel as though we learn a lot about people and ourselves when they're pressed to a certain limit. And a short story is often about the most important moment in a person's life, the moment that captures something about their character or an insight into them. So often those moments of extremity are dramatically required for a short story. The other way of answering it is also that I have had experience. I mean, my father was a manic depressive, and so there has been some experience of mental illness in my family.
Well, we should talk a little bit about a few of these. The character in War's End, he's gone to England, to Scotland, actually, with his wife, and his only real desire now is to end his life. Her desire is to keep things going. But you hear the story from his point of view. As a reader, can you believe his story?
I hope so. I mean, I think in that story, he comes to this town in Scotland and he eventually meets this woman who has had a kind of intuition and seen the state that he's in, has intuited the way he's feeling, and sort of draws him into her world. It's almost a sort of tale. I mean, not quite a fairy tale, but almost a sort of tale. And what I wanted to leave the reader with was a sense of what it would be like to occupy the space somewhere between life and death, somewhere between being alive and moving forward and the attraction that death sometimes has for people. I think that's the other thing when I write about some of these characters. There's a tendency to want to give some validity to their experience because with the medical view that we have of a lot of mental troubles and illness now, the temptation is just to say that that experience doesn't mean anything. It's as meaningless as a knee injury or, you know, not having enough insulin in your body. It doesn't have meaning. But the fact is that people experience it as very meaningful because it's in their mind and it's about how they view the world.
The Good Doctor is another of these. In this case, the narrator seems absolutely trustworthy. Is he?
I think he's a reliable narrator. I think he is. I think
he's the doctor. We have to trust him.
He's the doctor, yeah. I think there's definitely one of the movements in the story is towards the end to make him the reader understands that his needs are perhaps, you know, as great or greater than the patient's yeah. needs.
In this case, he is he's moved to a rural area to offer his services.
It's a story about a doctor going somewhere and a psychiatrist confronting a story that is a bit larger than he can handle. He's a young professional, and he's sort of been trained to be able to take something in and process it. I feel as though, you know, whenever it was 10 years ago or 12 years ago that Prozac was on the cover of Newsweek, and we suddenly have this sort of quick revolution, as it were, to the popular imagination, if not overnight in the medical profession, at least in the popular imagination. And I feel as though I don't have an editorial viewpoint, pro or con. I mean, I'm not somebody here advocating everybody throw away their medication by any means. But it does seem to me that there's a lag between our understanding or what we're being told about it as a medical situation and our more cultural or artistic or just good, serious nonfiction kind of accounts of what it is like to have suffering dealt with as a medical issue. I mean, I think that there's a lot of philosophical issues involved in that. And I don't know that those, I think it takes longer for those to get aired and for people to represent those and think about them. So, I mean, one ambition for the book, I think, which was very belated because it wasn't something I intended, but in retrospect, is that it gives an opportunity for people to think about it.
I'm curious about this because you've said in print before that you didn't know this was going to be a book so much about mental illness. These clearly have to be issues that you're passionate about, though, or you wouldn't have found yourself returning again and again to different facets of that end of human experience.
Yes. No, that's accurate enough. I mean, it may be as simple as, I mean, if I had been asked before the sort of headline of the idea of mental illness had come out, I guess I would have said that grief and loss and apprehending death or contemplating death, other people's or one's own, is to me what's really at the center of a lot of the stories. And it's not something that I think we're very comfortable abiding with. You know, there's a lot of representation of death, there's a lot of violent death we see all the time. But to stay with a person, stay with the mind of someone who's either feeling closer to it or has experienced it in the family or a relative or something, it's less comfortable. And so my goal in a lot of these, and this was more conscious, was to not look away from the mind of these people and to stay with them and see what happened if you wrote all the way into their character at that moment.
Not all of these stories are about mental illness, of course. Many of them are about life, the way we all live it. Mm. But are you suggesting there isn't all that much difference?
There's some suggestion of that. I mean, I think, as I said earlier about turning up the volume, I mean, everybody at some point in their life deals with grief and with loss and with the feeling of being low or a feeling of having more energy than they know what to do with. I mean, all these are familiar emotions to people. Some of the characters in the book deal with them at a heightened state. But I don't think there's a cutoff. It's degree, not kind, the difference that's going on. And I think that's a good thing both for people's ability to empathize with people, characters in more extreme situations, but also perhaps to see into their own emotional life.
Adam Hazlett's book of stories is called You Are Not a Stranger Here.